Testimony regarding Metcalf Hare and Hughes. 1898. This proposition, I knew, was not in the order of God. I understood that when the motion was made for Sister Haskell, there was no second, even from Brother Hughes himself. This was not in the order of God. If I had been in the meeting, I should have stated some things that would have changed the order of the meeting. I understood the matter, that the Lord was not working Brother Hare. Neither was Brother Hughes a full, all-sided man that could be depended upon in a crisis. He did not place his influence on the right side. He had, in connection with Brother Hare, blocked the wheel when he and Brother Hare should have stood and worked the load forward with all their energies. Neither of these men has faith in God. From the light the Lord has given me, these men, if they are not converted, will be better in some other place. They have not discerned to know and understand the result of their course of action, and when to speak and approve at the right time and in the right place. If they have reasons for their course of action, then let them speak plainly and let all their words have due weight. But when they are not moving and working from correct principles in accordance with the light God has given, they place me in a position where I must speak when I do not wish to speak. I have knowledge that neither Brother Hughes nor Brother Hare is moved by the Spirit of God. Light has been given, but they are not walking in the light. Should we move as endorsing the way in which these two men would carry the school matters, then I should bring my soul under condemnation. I know the elements we had to deal with on both sides of the question, and yet these brethren supposed they understood the matters under consideration. Had Brother Hare walked in the light, had Brother Hughes not been influenced by Brother Hare, then the Lord would have worked for the school. But the Lord is not in their movements. I do not now advise Brother and Sister Haskell to come into the school. Your wrong position has forced me to vindicate the course pursued in the first term of school by Brother and Sister Haskell. The position of Brother Hughes and Brother Hare is making it essential for me to say plain things, which means I must speak, and the speaking seldom has a good influence upon the ones whom the Lord shall vindicate. The human nature is so apt to view things in a wrong light that will become a temptation. Nevertheless, words must be spoken, and the test and trial will come on both parties. I had special light in regard to Brother Hare's peculiar traits of character when I visited Keo. I urged him to leave. There was little hope of Brother Metcalf Hare ever being an overcomer in connection with the brother, Joseph Hare. If he would understand himself, he would know that his heart must be changed. I was to bear a message from the Lord to him that he was not to consider that one man or two men, whatever their position may be, were competent to bear the responsibilities of the situation. God will not authorize them to do this. There is too little openness, too little frankness and brotherly love and confidence. Brother Hare's position is such that he feels that the responsibility of running things rests largely on him. He must therefore have things run as he thinks they should run, and mistakes will be made, for he has not the experience of carrying such burdens. The mind and plans of one man are to be considered with other plans and ideas that others of larger experience in this kind of work may have. It is a small faith that will not advance in the work of God. Neither Brother Hare nor Brother Hughes has a large experience in the devising and planning of the work connected with the cause of God. They have not genuine faith, and the work would be blocked continually if these men had the management. If they cannot see the end from the beginning, then they are sure to hesitate at the very time things ought to advance, as on the occasion of the building of the church chapel. The Lord gave abundance of light, but if that light had been left for them to manage, the word of the Lord would have fallen to the ground. Brother Hughes should have had moral backbone, but just when it would have been for his own benefit and brought him where he would sustain correct principles, he was nowhere. His influence was discouraging. Brother Hare was a hindrance. He had the matter laid out in his mind that when it was convenient for him, then it would be time enough to build the meeting house. But the Lord does not wait for the convenience of men. His wisdom is to be followed without any hesitancy. Brother Hare's spirit was not right with God. Satan's temptations overcame him, and he had no part nor lot in the matter. We had to leave him behind and press forward to the mark, considering we had a high calling. He had the matter laid out distinctly before him by letters. Nothing was done in a corner. But he desired to interpret the requirement, "Arise and build without delay," to mean we could take our time for it. But we followed the Lord's directions, and his blessing attended the work. When he had every reason to have confidence, he did not believe. The Lord was much dishonored by the course Brother Hare pursued. He was doing injury to himself, and he needed the converting power of God upon his own heart before he could be one to be trusted. There are too many lions in the way. Unbelief holds him from good. Then what can Brother Hare do? The word was spoken, "Make you a new heart and a new spirit." Ezekiel 18, verse 31. He will say, "This is impossible, I cannot do it." It is well if you see your own helplessness in this matter, and then if you will hang your helpless soul upon Jesus Christ, you have obtained a victory. The question is asked, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Jeremiah 13, verse 23, Job 14, verse 4. Your only help is in humbling your soul before God. There is no help for you until you give up your will and your way to God's will and God's way. You cannot run in your way on this school ground because you are not in harmony with God's will and God's way. You will see something to oppose, something wherein you can press in objections and hinder greatly and bring discouragement, making your unbelief produce needless difficulties. All whom God has used in his cause and in his work have had tenfold difficulties, yes, twentyfold of what we have had on this ground. Unexpected difficulties did come because of unbelief. 2 years were lost. Discouragement spread all through the Australian field and was carried in letters to America and to Africa, and things were made very hard. Money was extorted by unprincipled lawyers. This was brought about by the delay and uncertainty. Falsehoods were spread in every direction. We meet indifference of opposition or contempt and ridicule where we hoped for encouragement and glorious triumph and success because we knew the Lord was guiding. But the grace of God worked on our human calculations, putting down human wisdom and exalting the divine authority. There was need of enduring patience and prayer and the invincible power of God to give us courage and faith and hope and charity in this test and trial of all the Christian graces. When Brother Hare united with us, he was determined to do his duty, but there were many things arising and a heavy current to stem. Just as long as he was willing to heed the voice of counsel, he was looked upon tenderly, although he made mistakes in being overbearing and masterly in his spirit. We all need help from one another. Neither Brother Hare nor Brother Hughes can carry things without the counsel of workmen whose judgment in some things is more correct than his own. Brother Hare's temperament is to find something to question and oppose, but he has not all the judgment. The Lord would have the judgment of men who have capabilities and talents to bring in and to use in planning and in establishing the work on this ground. There was a time when Brother Hare and myself stood almost alone. He helped me, and I helped him in giving the light God had given me. But the work was moving in lines where he had not an experience. Then the Lord signified he had provided means whereby the school work should advance. Elder Haskell and Hetty Heard Haskell would come in our emergency, and these would, under God, carry the work successfully. The talent of discipline is to be combined with tenderness and the love of God. Toil and painstaking effort are required for all who united with the school to work with virtue, wisdom, unity, and love, which are indispensable to every soul who will be a co-worker with Jesus Christ.
There can be no falling apart, no envy, no jealousy, no evil surmising. But everyone united with his brethren, professors and teachers, all working in meekness, humility, and faith, making the best use of their powers to be aggressively and personally useful. They are not to block their own way by setting prescribed limits to their improvement of their individual talents, that they may become more and better qualified to give, by precept and example, the correct mold to the school. Their own spiritual helpfulness would increase as they worked on right lines. But the Lord will not have those connected with the work at this stage, if they know not how to advance in unity with all workers who have knowledge and experience in the work. There is not one, or two, or three, or four that are to be considered a perfect whole. The Lord would have all who have wisdom and skill and understanding in different lines of the work to counsel together, to have perfect freedom to express their judgment and opinion. He would have them pray together, and not depend on their own supposed wisdom, but ask wisdom of God. Each can, if worked by the Holy Spirit, give his individual judgment, and those who have held responsible places should give others standing room and respect their judgment, knowing that the Lord uses a variety of minds and gifts that he himself has entrusted to be worked by his Holy Spirit. The work of the gospel of Christ individualizes. It passes into the minds and moves the heart, and in their oneness and unity there is strength. All who are learning of Jesus Christ, eating his flesh and drinking his blood, have in them the elements of eternal life. They are able, through grace, to discern the elements of true greatness and goodness and hopefulness in each individual worker. Each one, if he is a laborer together with God, is yoked up with Jesus Christ and is a part of Christ, to contribute to his glory, to honor him, to bring in his talent and become part of the firm. Not one is justified in becoming narrow-minded and thinking that he and one or two others are all sufficient to contemplate great plans and possibilities, and can selfishly shut themselves within their narrow compass and say, "We need no others to unite with us." The work is enlarging and broadening, and needs men of faith, men who will venture something. God's people are elected unto eternal life through obedience by eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of God. They are to be in union with God in this life and in the life which is to come. I have words to say that God has given me. All ye are brethren, and all this secretiveness in those engaged to advance any branch of the work is not after the order of God. When dealing with unbelievers, that is another matter. But in all plans connected with the work of God, workers should be respectful to one another, showing confidence and unselfishness, and confederating together to lay open the very best light they have. God hates concealment among brethren. Christ declares of his work, "I have done nothing in secret. All my work has been open before you. I speak the words I have heard of my Father. I have nothing that I do of myself. The things that I have seen the Father do, those things I do, and I do nothing of myself." Then, for Christ's sake, let us get out of the reign that human invention has made. There are men who are to compose every council who are to be learners, and there are those who can instruct as well as learn.
The Lord is not exclusive. He takes into union with himself a man who has been sunk into depths from which the divine interposition must raise him, entrusts him with his stewardship, to fit him to be a co-worker with Jesus Christ and prepare him for a higher position. The Lord Jesus estimates the value of the fishermen employed with their nets. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew 4, verse 19. All who follow Christ possess a dignity of intelligence because they are learning of Christ and being formed in the image of God. In every place, God has His chosen ones who are very much interested in the things which concern the work of the kingdom of God, while these things of eternal interest set very lightly upon others, making but little impression on heart and character.
Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, was seen by many as only a businessman following his ordinary occupation. Jesus looked upon Matthew. He saw more than other men discerned, a heart that was not at all satisfied, a heart longing for rest and peace. The Lord Jesus had just what Matthew needed. He could guide this soul to the haven of rest. Jesus knew his soul hunger. He called Matthew by name and saith unto him, "Follow me." Matthew 9, verse 9. Without one word of explanation, Matthew arose and followed him. Some, at such a call, would have lost their chance. They would have wanted to know where they were going and what business they would engage in. But Matthew wanted soul rest, and he asked no question. He just obeyed the divine call. The Lord has given men talents to aid in the advancement of His work. A word spoken in season. How good it is! The Lord has His chosen ones, adapted to do a certain work. But when a feeling of self-importance comes in, that no one can do that work but me, I must do that, for no one else is as well fitted, then exists a spirit to be first, and the life becomes wrapped up in self-sufficiency. This acts as a non-conductor. The Spirit of God does not, cannot, flow through it to that soul. It is those who have a living connection with God who make God their trust, who have faith that the Lord will guide, whom God will work that they may work others. Then words will be spoken that savor not of self, but are a savor of life unto life. In the councils that have been held, there is so much of self and so little of the Spirit of God. So much uncertainty, and so much speaking, and again so much reticence, that the Lord is displeased. There is so much to be done that there is to be a coming right to the point. With our Lord, there was no loss of time, no waste of words or of strength. He means that there shall be a continuous carrying out of the will of God, and the human agent shall be God's channel, conveying the light and grace to others. Matthew came to Christ to be a learner, to do his work. He left all and rose and followed him. When the Lord has a work to be done, it may be he indicates to someone, "Arise and build." See Nehemiah 2, verse 20. That one does not wait to see and counsel with any board to be advised, but he may call together whom he will to say, "We must arise and build." He does not ask if he may, but he just works right to the point till the work is done. His business is to put his whole soul on that building until it is prepared for that which it is intended. There is a God, and he is to be consulted and sought unto. The devil is all ready to work any minds that are prepared for him to use to hinder the work. His power has been felt in many council meetings to hinder and discourage, and the Lord hath said, "You must call in the workmen." There are chosen ones whom I can impress. Their influence is needed to press matters through to a conclusion.
All who know themselves as redeemed sinners in need of help will be helped by the Lord. The ideas and customs and practices become stereotyped. God wants fresh elements that shall give healthful vigor to the board meetings that are not what He would have them, because minds are not fitted to be worked. The long hours spent to convince minds of certain things are a weariness and waste. God calls for the men engaged in His work to be sanctified, soul, body, and spirit, that God can work with them. It is from the lowly ones who commune with God that He can communicate light that can help others. Not from the highest places, but from the lowest. The matter with some is that they feel it is very wise to differ from every suggestion made. It is very easy to refuse to believe what they have pondered in their mind, not to believe. In the interest of our school, we need more men of breadth of mind. We need new, fresh elements, not a stagnant pool. We need, and God will have, minds that will blend with minds, and hearts touched and tendered by the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord can do more in your committee and board meetings than all the talking that can be done. After you have had a meeting of prayer, not just one petition, but earnestly seeking God and confessing sin before Him, then the yoking up with Christ commences, and self is subjected to the higher will. We have a great work to be done. We have unity and love just as soon as the love of Christ flows from heart to heart. Then we are of one mind and one judgment. We want simply religion, Bible religion, conversion to God every day. More joy would make every soul more self-denying, more self-sacrificing. Heaven would seem to have come down to earth. The tabernacle of God would be with men. The blessing of God looses the reticent tongue. The church today is composed of half-converted men and women. Romans 8, verse 32.